The reading this morning is actually several pieces, several selections that Judy picked. The first is from Kenny Wiley's Nights Can Be Tough. Maya Angelou turned 40 on April 4th, 1968. She had planned a big party in Harlem with many of the day's black intellectual elite among the guests. History had another idea. Dr. King's assassination sent Angelou into a weeks-long depression. It was fellow writer James Baldwin who helped dig her out of it. Angelou recalls Baldwin's assistance in her book, A Song Flung Up from Heaven, Flung Up to Heaven, where she writes that laughter and ancestral guidance got her through. She says, "There was very little serious conversation. The times were so solemn and the daily news so somber that we snatched mirth from unlikely places and gave servings of it to one another with both hands. I told Jimmy I was so glad to laugh. Jimmy said, 'We survived slavery. You know how we survived? We put surviving into our poems and into our songs. We put it into our folk tales. We danced surviving in Congo Square in New Orleans and put it in our pots that we cooked when we cooked pinto beans. We knew if we were to survive, we had better lift our own spirits. So we laughed whenever we got the chance." And from the Soul Matters Guide, we read, "Maybe vulnerability is the real secret to perseverance. Maybe admitting you're tired and asking for help is the real strength that gets us through. That dominant myth of Sisyphus pushing his rock up that endless hill hasn't done us any favors. We assume Sisyphus is suffering because his work is endless. But maybe it's his isolation and lack of place to rest that is his true torment." So friends, this month, let's not torment ourselves. We don't have to give up those pep talks about digging deep and being stronger than we know. But right alongside that, let's make sure we're also doing the more tender work of propping each other up and reminding each other to breathe. And third is Rabbi David Wolf tells a story that we should all carry with us. A boy and his father were walking along a road when they came across a large stone. "Do you think if I used all my strength I could move this rock?" the child asked. His father answered, "If you use all your strength, I'm sure you can do it." The boy began to push the rock, exerting himself as much as he could. He pushed and he pushed. The rock did not move. Discouraged, he said to his father, "You were wrong. I can't do it." His father put his arm around the boy's shoulder and said, "No, son, you didn't use all your strength. You didn't ask me to help." What a gift to remember that perseverance isn't a solo act. May that be the gift this month. May that be the gift this month gives us all.
So this is a service we're talking a lot about love. The Soul Matters theme for the month is the theme of perseverance. And Wednesday is Valentine's Day, which, as we know, is kind of a hallmark holiday celebrating love. Excuse me. It is that season. Those can feel like very disparate threads. But I invite you to walk with me this morning. This is going to be a more personal reflection than I usually do, but I offer it as a message of hope and perseverance and spirit that love does win. So our story begins this morning with the weekend of August 11th and 12th, 2017. That weekend of the Unite the Right march and rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, that murderous weekend. As a parent of a multiracial child, watching the racist, murderous violence was bone-chilling. Made even more so by the fact that our family had been in Charlottesville in June for a wedding, and Kevin and I had wandered that very downtown mall. I admit to you that my mama bear was in full force, and I was angry and protective, but mostly very, very, very afraid. Now, I know this fear is not new. Parents of children of color have experienced deep fear for their children for generations. It is sadly a very common emotion, but the depth of that fear was new to me. See, in Kevin's lifetime, Michael and I have worked very hard to create for her a safe and nurturing world. We found and sought out those spaces here, school, others, where she could learn and grow and be loved and nurtured into her best self. Places where her multiracial identity was understood and appreciated and normalized. And places where she could and was coming to understand her own sense of being a multiracial child walking in today's world. In her lifetime, she'd had the grace to live with a black president, first lady, and first family, and blessed to see a vision of beauty and possibility. I have shared with you my fear throughout the Trump candidacy and election, and I thought I had prepared myself. But the events of that weekend in Charlottesville shook me to my core. I found myself crippled by fear like I have not ever known. And for days, it was hard to get out of bed and proceed with my life and responsibilities. Like many of you, I struggled. I felt heavy, gray, in a fog of depression that hit so hard. I was moving in slow motion through my days, and I really did find myself in a place of hopelessness and meaninglessness. I rarely feel that sense of hopelessness. One of the gifts of spirit in my life is that I feel a constant, consistent sense of hope, but Charlottesville changed that, and I was so afraid. If I were able, I would have pulled the covers over my head and moved to a deserted island and checked out. Everything in me wanted to check out, to steal Kevin away and disappear. But reality called. And in addition to my normal day-to-day, I had a wedding to do that next weekend. And now this was the sweetest couple. We had worked all summer to craft a very personal and spiritual ceremony that reflected them, their journey, and their love. And until the events of August 11th and 12th, I can honestly say it was probably one of my favorite wedding experiences. But when that morning came, I struggled. I struggled to gather myself to be present to Meredith and Joe in their service because they deserved the love and blessing of their family and friends, the full presence of their officiant, and that moment to bask in the joy. I called on all my inner strength as I got myself ready that morning, and I found myself on my knees in deep prayer. And during the service, I did feel Spirit with me, flowing through me, and I'm grateful that I was able to be present to Meredith and Joe and give them the wedding that they needed and wanted. And any of you who had public moments know that in the aftermath, especially when being present in that public moment has been a struggle, there's that sense of coming back into one's space, one's body and head after the externalization of self. And for me that day, coming back to myself meant coming back to that hopelessness and meaninglessness, to the heartbreak and sadness and overwhelming fear. But my time with Meredith and Joe was not yet done. I had to get the license signed. So I pulled out all the paperwork and gathered their chosen witnesses. And as the best man was signing, I looked over his shoulder, offering him instructions about how to fill out every line. And my eye traveled up the document. and I noticed a signature on the register of deeds. And I felt an immediate, visceral, absolutely disorienting shock to my system. It was such an immediate, powerful shock that I had to fight the tears that came instantly. I was still in that officiant role. I still needed to maintain the energy and focus on Meredith and Joe. I could not cry and fall into the complex of my emotions. And the moments that followed, getting the signatures, offering my blessings, saying my goodbyes, making my way to the car, were some of the most disorienting dual reality moments of my 48 years. Dual reality, I mean, walking both in this tangible, earthbound, practical world and consciously and intentionally walking with spirit. This dual reality is common for me. It's a daily experience, but usually those moments are fluid and integrated and natural and easy. And that day, those times were anything but. I was disjointed. I was disoriented. I struggled to engage in conversations and find words that were niceties. What did I see? Why was I so disoriented? The signature on the register of deeds, the authorizing signature granting the permission for the marriage to be legal, was the signature of our very first Dream Scholarship recipient. A woman I had gotten to know and appreciate and love, and seeing her signature as the legal representative authorizing the wedding was a bolt and jolt to my heart and soul. It jarred me absolutely and completely out of my fear and depression instantaneously and into love and into spirit and trust and hope. And in one moment, I knew my body and soul and spirit kinesthetically felt alive with the resounding message that love wins. Love wins. In that moment, I wanted to shout and dance and sing and profess to everyone that love wins. But I had to complete that moment at hand and get out of the wedding and into my car. And when I did, I cried and cried and cried, and I texted Carolina, and I emailed our dream committee, and I called friends and family, and I shouted. And the people driving by in the parking lot probably thought I was nuts. But I was alive with that feeling. Love wins. Now I can hear you. It's nice, Judy. I'm really glad you had that experience. But that's your experience. So what? What does it matter for us here today? So let me try and articulate the profundity of that shift, because it is an intimate one for all of us, and one in which each of you share. See, we as a congregation joined with others 7 years ago to tangibly create a sense of welcome and love and community for our Henderson County Dreamers. Despite the national inaction, we declared our place and took action to affirm a community of all. We all contributed funds. The board took the bold step of assuming responsibility for administering the scholarship and establishing a fund at the Community Foundation. The bookkeeper and administrator accept applications, process checks, and deal with endless questions from the colleges and students alike. It has been a full effort of this congregation, in partnership with others, and the foundation, and the high schools, and the Dreamers, and hundreds of other donors. But it has been our moment where we and our community declared, affirmed, and embodied and enacted our love. And by declaring and then embodying that love, we changed lives. It's as simple and profound as that. Lives have been touched and changed by our collective love. And in this time of heightened racial tension with the Charlottesville and now the DACA, our love, our embodiment of our love, is a profound statement of our theology and our beingness in the world. The collective love of this congregation has become embodied in Carolina's journey, which then became that healing gift to me and my heart when I desperately needed it that Saturday in August. So I stand here this morning to thank you. To thank you for loving, for risking, for being a community that puts its love and care and theology into action. And to return to you the gift of hope that we all need. The gift of hope that love does win. Because truly, we will continue to face uncertainty and difficulty and trouble. Our country and our world is imbued with a palpable tension and fear and discord and disunity. And this is sadly our current reality. But in these times, we need that message of hope. The Soul Matters message of perseverance suggests that we persevere thanks to our vulnerability in asking for help and sharing the burden. That morning in August, I asked for help from Spirit, for hope, for something to lift the hopelessness and meaninglessness and depression. And the response, via Carolina's signature, love wins. And with that message, a gift of hope to my spirit and a renewed will that what we do does matter. The ripples of what we do change lives, change community, and come back. It matters very much what we do. Now, just to throw some other themes in there, February is Black History Month, and my spirit hears King's words, quoting our Unitarian forebearer, Theodore Parker, that the arc of the moral universe is long and bends towards justice. Parker's full quote, those of you who don't know it, he's one of our 19th century Unitarian ministers. I do not pretend to understand the moral universe. The arc is a long one. My eye reaches but little ways. I cannot calculate the curve and complete the figure by experience of sight. I can divine it by conscience. But from what I see, I am sure it bends towards justice. In these times, sometimes it is difficult to keep that faith that the arc bends towards justice. Faith and hope and love. That is where this message from Soul Matters of perseverance and vulnerability and shared burden resonate. We need to buoy each other. We need as much hope as we can share with each other. We need to remember what Parker and King tell us, that the spirit and grace of the universe is on our side, is on the side of love, and that love does and will win. I also hear in this the words attributed to Jesus that the most profound thing we can do is to love radically and wastefully and wholly across all boundaries. To every question, love is the answer. Not the hallmark love American culture celebrates this week, but the radical love that each and every one of us is a reflection of divinity, an embodiment of spirit, a unique expression of the oneness of all. Compassion is our way of terming that radical love. Not that romantic or attached love, but the expansive love of all as expressions of the mystery of life. And we are called to be reflections of compassion, of love, of all of our neighbors. When we love, when we engage in acts of love, individually or collectively, we embody our call as human incarnations of divinity. We embody that which we are called to be. The spirit of the universe is love. The spirit of the universe is love. God is love. Our universalists tell us that. We may term it in new language. The spirit of the universe is love. And our call in this time is to embody and manifest that love as vibrantly and radically and wastefully and wholly as we can, to give it life and expression and fullness. For when we love, we are truly our best selves, choosing life and wholeness and spirit, answering that call of the universe, helping, abetting the bending of the arc towards justice, and manifesting that which we call God. Our love and actions matter. In 2 weeks, we will welcome Carolina to this pulpit to share some of her journey and the impact of the dream and beyond on her life, as well as her thoughts on the DACA mess we're in right now. Meet her and welcome her with the assurance deep in your heart and spirit that love matters, and that our love, our collective love, impacted her journey. This is us. This is who we are, creating and continuously recreating a community of hope and love and justice. In these times of challenge and anger and fear, it is the simplicity of touch, the simplicity of love, the simplicity of courage and connection that encourages us, sustains us, and heals us individually and collectively, that creates the world we seek, and that gives us strength to persevere. Love in the face of fear, love in response to hate, love to build, nurture, and sustain dreams. So keep loving. Keep persisting in tenacious love. Keep persevering. Keep cultivating gardens. Keep writing postcards. Keep supporting the scholarship and the dreamers. Keep showing up. Keep asking for help and embracing your vulnerability and laughing to nurture your spirit. And above all, keep loving. Wastefully, radically, and wholly. Because the arc does bend towards justice, and love does and will win.